We're going to be in Hebrews 11, 8 through 10 this morning as we continue our study of faith, God-pleasing faith in Hebrews 11. And today we'll be talking about Abraham, our father of faith. Now this short passage reads this way, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. My, what a wonderful passage of faith. Introduced by those two words, by faith, which remember as Christians ought to be attached to our lives. So we have learned in no uncertain terms that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Don't you want to please God? You know, sometimes someday you're going to have to face God and you're going to have to answer to Him. And don't you want to see a smiling face that is pleased with your life? But without faith, it is impossible to please God. God does not waver in this command, and at times turn his face away and change what pleases him as we do. Oh my, how we change from day to day as to what pleases us. You know, we're of a generation that was pleased by certain things, and now you young people are a generation that is pleased by certain things, and our generation isn't so pleased about what you're pleased about. But God, when he speaks forever. He's unchanging, and when he is pleased by faith, he will always be pleased by faith. And God does not hide what it means to exercise faith. For as we now turn to faithful Abraham in our study of Hebrews 11, we will learn the essential and practical details of the outworking of true faith. Now, so often people will say they have faith. So often people will call themselves believers without knowing what God expects from faith that pleases Him. It's so easy to say, yes, I'm a person of faith. Yes, I'm a believer. But then when you ask them what they believe, they don't believe much. For everything we do requires faith. You know, I remember hearing our pastor of old talk about going to the grocery store, and when you pick up a can of beans, you're exercising faith because you believe the label that is on that can. And, you know, I've never been disappointed. I've never opened what I thought was a can of beans and got corn. So my faith has always been rewarded in that matter. For everything we do requires faith of some sort, but what kind of faith is the faith that pleases God? That's what we ought to want to know. If God is pleased by faith, what kind of faith is He pleased by? God does not leave us ignorant in this, for He brings us to study a man of faith whom we call Father Abraham. You know, he beat out the Catholics long ago. For we can call Abraham Father Abraham, the title coming from Romans 4:11, where Abraham is called the father of all them that believe. Now, the Apostle Paul describes Abraham as the prime example of justification before God by faith alone, excluding any and all works. You know, you can't work your way to heaven. You can't crawl up the steps of Rome, baring your knees and bloodying your knees in order to satisfy God. That's not how you approach God. But the Apostle Paul describes Abraham as that prime example of justification before God by faith alone. Justification before God does not stem from any genealogy and does not come through Abraham's seed, but only comes through faith, as we are told in Romans 4:13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, for the law had not yet come, but through the righteousness of faith. How do you access God? By faith. Not by the law, not by your works. You access God by faith. So Abraham, the father, is not father by physical genealogy, but by spiritual genealogy, which is only accessed by faith. Now, Paul wrote the Galatians of this in chapter 3, verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So the truth is that when you are born again, you not only enter the family of God, but you also become a son of Abraham, becoming a descendant and heir according to the promise. Aren't you glad that there are promises of God? You know, those promises are going to be fulfilled to the T, to the iota. For God made those promises, gave those promises to Abraham, who is our father of faith. So what does Paul tell us about the faith of Abraham? The first thing he tells us is that faith brings obedience. Oh, don't say that word. Don't say that word. That's not current. That's not modern. Obey. I'm a free agent. I can do what I please. You can do what God pleases. Amen? You can do what God pleases. That's as far as we're supposed to go. So he tells us that faith brings obedience. For by faith, Abraham, when he was called out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, what did he do? He obeyed. Wow, so there's a connection of obeying with faith, obedience with faith. Now, first of all, in order to obey, you must hear a command. Now, in the military, you get a lot of commands. I mean, somebody's telling you what to do all the time. Do this, go there. You get your orders and say, well, I don't want to go there. Tough. You go there anyway. Well, I don't like that place. It doesn't have any palm trees and beaches. Well, you're going to go to a place where there are beaches. You may have to storm those beaches. You may have to put your life on the line. But what's your obligation? Your obligation is to what? Obey. But before you are to obey, you must hear a command. Abraham heard a command, for he was what? Called. He was called. Now, Abraham did not have a dream. He did not have a career path. Young people, listen to me now. Young people are so directed towards career paths. But as a Christian, you're to be walking by faith. Abraham did not have a dream. He did not have a career path. He did not have a way that he had all planned out, a way which was directed by family or friends or education or intelligence or even financial well-being. I got all my money that I need. I can do what I please. No, you can't if you walk by faith. So the operative word is called. For Abraham was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance. A separation from all that was dear was required by God. and without knowing of what was to come in a land which God would show him. How'd you like to do that? Oh, God called me to a land I don't know anything about. Are you going? Yes, I have to obey. I have to do what God tells me. Why? Because I walk by faith. For we are told the words of God to Abraham in Genesis 12, 1 through 4. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Abraham, wouldn't it be nice if you would go to this far country? No, the Lord didn't use those soft words. He said, get thee out of the country. And from thy kindred. Now maybe he didn't raise his voice like that. I'm just doing that for drama. But you know, God is authoritative. God doesn't mess around. When he calls, he gives orders. We got to get back to that in the church. Where there's authority, God speaks. And we do. But he said, get out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Oh, he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, did Abram, at that time he was Abram, did he argue with God? He departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. Oh, be careful about Lot. Be careful about your nephews. Any nephews here? Then Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. You know, old folks, they can still get a call. Now you'll note that this call, this command was given to Abraham in a place called Haran. Now as far as Abraham was concerned, this was an in-between place. Now he had stopped at Haran on the way to the country where God was calling him to. So this was an in-between place. For he had been called before when he lived in a place called Ur of the Chaldees, a city in the country we now know as Iraq. So he was called out of Iraq, went with his father, and they went to Haran and lived there for a number of years until he finally obeyed God, not in the fullest, but he obeyed God and went to the far country. Now Stephen, the early church martyr, remember Stephen who stood for the faith? Did he back away from being stoned? No, he received those stones and looked up to heaven and saw God. Oh, Stephen the martyr. He said this in Acts 7, 2 and 4, and he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Sharon, that was Haran, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Sharon. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell. So Abraham obeyed God by leaving Ur of the Chaldeans, but he left with his kindred, showing incomplete obedience. And then again, when he left Haran, by bringing Lot along, his nephew, who we know brought Abraham much heartache and trouble. But our Hebrew passage dwells on Abraham's faith. For his faith did bring him to complete obedience, which was certainly proved in following the word of God in the matter of the command of God to sacrifice his own son, Isaac. Wow, what a time of obedience for Abraham. To take his son and possibly kill his son under the command of God. But Abraham was a man who believed God's call was the principal thing. Now, if you want to be a person of faith, that ought to be your principle, the call of God. What does God want me to do? Where does God want me to go? How does God want me to perform and do what he asks me to do? In this, Abraham teaches those of us who walk by faith that we are no longer our own, but we have given our allegiance to God, and therefore we are not to act apart from God's word. This is the message of Abraham. This is the message of faith. We're not our own agents. We're God's agents. He created us, he made us, and he has the right to use us. Now, the Apostle Paul, another man who walked by faith, wrote in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, and he starts it off with, what? And then he says, you don't know this? You don't know this simple principle? It's almost like, you big dummy, you. When he's not saying that, Paul wouldn't say that. I mean, I would say that because I'm not so smart. But he says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Don't you know that? For ye are bought with a price. The precious blood of Jesus. That's not in there. I inserted that. The precious blood of another. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Ownership. When you're born again into the family of God, you become God's. You become his. You're bought with a price. So therefore, we are to await orders from God. We are to seek his will in all we do. Again, it is not saying, I have a dream. Oh, I have a big career path. Oh, I've got big ambitions. It is saying, what would you have me to do? Where would you have me to go, dear Lord? That's what we say. That's what people of faith say. Those other words aren't to come out of our mouths. I have a dream. And of course, being in the faith realm, the immediate response is obedience to God's call. What's his call on your life? Now, God calls all men everywhere to repent. God calls all men, all women, all boys and girls to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. These are God's general calls, which go out to all, but we are told from Scripture, few respond. Oh, that general call goes out, but few respond. You know, we're told that there's going to be a remnant. We're told that there's a narrow way and a broad way. What does that tell us? That few respond. God also calls his children in a specific way for a specific duty. Many of you have been called. I've been called by God to do what I'm doing here. I've been called by God to teach. This is emphasized in 1 Timothy 1:9, which reads, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. That holy means separated calling. We're separated out. God takes a look at all the people and says, I'm separating you out. Put you over there for a specific calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. You know, not according to our works. I've been studying in college for 10 years. I've been going down this career path. I've been going down this road. Not according to your works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Well, God, you're going to call me in my vocation, aren't you? Wait a minute. Doesn't say that. You may be called in a completely different way after you get an education, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So God's word is clear. If you walk by faith, God has a purpose for you, and it is your duty to seek God's will in your life. Seek God's will in your life. What do you want me to do? It is your duty to listen for God's call and do as Abraham did, knowing it is God's orders from headquarters. Did you ever get any orders from headquarters? All the time. You know, oh boy, I got to do this again. I got to do everything around here. Nobody does anything except me.
Give orders.
Yeah, I was the giver of orders. But they must be obeyed. By faith, Abraham was called and he obeyed. Now, here's the test of faith. Don't you want to know, well, how do you know what faith is? This is the test of faith. You say, oh, I have faith. Yeah, but test your faith. Put your faith to the test. Can you say you have faith and not even know the commands of God? How can you obey commands you don't even know? You're not in the book. You may not be in the book and you don't know the commands. How are you going to have faith without knowing the book? Can you have faith and choose to obey only those things of God that are convenient to you and perhaps go along with your desires? God said this, I like those. You know, what did Thomas Jefferson do? He cut out the parts of the Bible that he didn't like. I like Psalm 23. You know, that's such a pleasant psalm to read. But I don't like it says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't like that. I'm cutting that out. You know? No. You can't have faith when you separate God's word into piles and obey this pile and throw this one in the trash. Is it your desire to know and obey the whole counsel of God from Genesis 1 to the last amen of Revelation 22? You are to examine yourself to see if you are indeed in the faith. You know, there ought to be a self-examination on a regular basis. And you know how you do that? You don't put it on your calendar. You read the scriptures. You study the scriptures. You're always examining yourself. Study to show yourself approved. Am I approved in that? I got to study. I don't think I'm approved in that. I got to ask God to help me. Isn't that the way of the Christian? Is there any more important venture than to know for sure that you are in good standing with God and that your faith pleases Him? You know, eternity is at stake. The one who walks by faith thinks about eternity. We don't think about the temporal. Yeah, you got to think about the temporal. You got to eat, you got to sleep, you got to go through all those little details of life. But the ultimate thoughts are thoughts of eternity. For eternity is at stake, and so many are so casual about this, believing they have faith simply because they say so. You know, that doesn't cut it. That's not the test. But genuine faith always obeys God. A person may say, I believe in God, but what does that mean? Doesn't believe, as used in the Bible, really mean that you will obey? That's what it means. I believe in God. That means I obey God. Faith in God means believing that God knows best. And what He says is for our benefit regardless of what we think. You know, a little child, you can see little child, they're supposed to obey their parents. Why? Because their parents know what is best for the child. Little child doesn't know anything. Little child's told, don't go in the street. I like to go in the street. I'm going to go in the street. Well, they don't have faith in their parents. They don't believe their parents knows what's best for them. But God says, what God says is for our benefit, regardless of what we think. We may read God's word and in comparing it to the world's ideas, think that God's word simply does not fit this modern world. Boy, that's apparent today. There are people of so-called faith all over the world that are saying, this book doesn't fit this modern world. Well, it wasn't designed to fit this modern world. It was designed to fit a world of faith. This is a faith book. This is a manual on how to get along in the realm of faith. It's not made for the world, you see. So they go the way of the world and do not obey God's word, and yet they say they have faith. They don't have faith. So you can examine yourself in this regard and find yourself to be a man of faith, a woman of faith, or not. But you are faithless when you choose to not obey God's word. You know, Jesus Christ spoke the hard saying of Matthew 7:21. To those who easily said words of faith, but without obedience to follow. Now listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew 7:21. Not every one that saith unto me, what? Lord, Lord. Oh, it's so easy to say Lord, Lord, so piously. And they said, oh, Lord, Lord, we have done many wonderful works. They were thinking about all the wonderful works that they did, patting themselves on the back. But he said, not everyone that will saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, this is not a works salvation message, for Christ clearly portrays here persons who claim faith but do their own will. Remember the Pharisees and scribes claiming Abraham as their father, and yet their lives were full of wickedness. But they were the same Pharisees and scribes who sought to kill Jesus. What a dichotomy here. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. Jesus is telling these evil men who are pretenders of faith to examine themselves and ask how they could seek to kill him. Who is a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God? This did not Abraham. Abraham wouldn't do what you're planning to do. And yet you call him your father, you hypocrites. But Abraham, in being called the father of faith, is to be the example of all his sons who dwell in the faith realm, who dwell in the kingdom. Now, we're in the kingdom. If you're in the faith realm, we're in the kingdom. We're sons of the King. We walk by faith in the kingdom. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham believed God, and we know this. Why? Because he obeyed God. Don't tell me you believe in God and not do the will of God, not obey God. But obedience is what proves the genuineness of faith. And by faith, Abraham obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. One thing we learn about God's calling by the example of Abraham is that the faith life operates on trust. You know, trust is earned. Trust is earned. And you trust God by studying His Word, reading His Word, knowing that God will always be what He says He is. You know, we sang that song, Cast Your Care Upon Him. Take your burdens to the Lord. He never rejects that. He always takes those burdens, lightens the load. So we trust God. Faith convinces that God is always trustworthy. Now, God did not provide Abraham with knowledge of what was to come. You know, that's how faith operates. Faith doesn't give you all the details. Faith doesn't say, well, I've got this much money in the bank account for this. I've got a house awaiting you. All the comforts of home are where you're going. We are told that he went out from Ur of the Chaldees not knowing whither he went. God painted no rosy picture of Abraham's life in the new land if he answered the call. There was no rosy picture. He didn't say, everything's going to be wonderful, Abraham. And you can read about the story of Abraham in the land and the troubles that he found himself in. God told Abraham that obedience to his call would result in a great nation, a great name, and blessings upon all families of the earth. But these things were things of the future, and to realize them would require believing in God to bring them about. Abraham was promised nothing of a physical nature, but we are told that Abraham's faith was such that he looked for what? A city whose builder and maker was God. You know, Jesus said to us, I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if it were not so, I would have told you. That's a promise of God. I'm looking for that city. Why am I looking for? Because God told me of that city. And God told Abraham of that city. And looking required Abraham to forsake his people, to forsake his family, to forsake his earthly inheritance and go, not going whither he went, guided only by God's hand. That's enough, isn't it? That's enough. Faith gives eyes to see what those of this earth cannot see. You know, we talked about this a few weeks ago, about discussing colors with a blind man. A blind man who's never seen colors. You say, oh, don't you like orange? What's orange? Oh, blue is so nice. What's blue? I don't think there is such a thing as blue. I've never seen it. I can't see anything. So, you know, it's like that. We move into the realm of faith. We can see things that God can see. And God gives sight to what God sees, for God's eyes see all things. Thou God seest me. Remember that verse that you used to have in the hall? Thou God seest me. We had that in the hall so the little children would stop doing what they did. I don't know if it worked, but it sure was a conviction. You know, you should put that in your house. Thou God seest me. Put that in your children's room when they start goofing off and doing things behind your back. Oh, they'll never do that. Oh, yeah, they won't ever do that. Think about what you did when you were a child. Now, they're no different than you, probably worse. But faith sees that which has eternal value and brings one to forsake all that has temporal value. You know, all these things that we've accumulated over time, one call of God and they're gone. One call of God. God calls you home. Do you take anything with you? You know, do you take anything with you? No. I always look in the casket and see, is he taking anything with him? No, he's already gone and the suit's still there. You know, the glasses are still there and he's already gone. But faith concentrates on that which is eternal. Now, Jesus Christ saw a publican named Levi. Pastor recently preached on this. And Levi was sitting at the receipt of custom, and Jesus Christ looked at Levi and said these two words. He said, follow me. What did it next say in Luke 5:28? Next comes a step of obedience by Levi, the publican. For he left all, rose up, and followed him. Levi left all, for he knew by faith if any man will come after Jesus, he is to deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow him. Deny yourself. That's kind of strange in this modern world. In this modern world, it's all about me. It's all about my pleasures. It's all about what you can do for me. But the Christ walk is to deny yourself and take up your cross daily. By faith, Levi left all and followed Jesus, for he looked at his tax collector's table. He looked at his tax collector's books. He looked at his life of corruption. But when he saw Jesus, he was able to see eternity and life everlasting. So the vision changes. You go from being a person of the world, an unsaved person, a person left in their sins, and you go through the new birth into the faith realm, all those things dim away. True faith. Faith that brings obedience will leave all things to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ provides by faith the ability to decide for him, and in deciding for him, there will come times when father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters and even a man's own life must be despised. Remember, it was our Lord who told us in Luke 14:26, astounding passage here, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, what? He cannot be my disciple." So Jesus Christ says in this passage that there must be an allegiance to him higher than any other allegiance in order for a man or a woman to be his disciple. In other words, Jesus Christ requires the undivided attention and loyalty of those who desire to learn from and of him. Undivided loyalty. We can't have our hand in the world and our other hand in the world of faith. Therefore, all other allegiances that place Jesus Christ in a subservient position will cause learning to be hindered or even come to an end completely. He is saying that there are earthly relationships that must be subordinate to the relationship with him in order for successful discipleship to take place. My, this has a militant quality to it. You know, even the word disciple has a militant quality as it involves combat. For being a disciple engages one in warfare with the world, the flesh, and the devil. My, every day there's a battle. You know, every day. You know, every day our pastor has a battle with the world wanting to come in the ministry, the flesh wanting to come in the ministry, and the devil pushing. Every day there's a battle. And you know, there's a hardness to the command to place one's family in a subservient position. The Apostle Paul made this clear to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:3 and 4. "Thou therefore endure hardness." You know, the call to the church, the call to the body of Christ is to endure hardness. We're not to be a soft body. We're to be a hard body. "Therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." So this is what a disciple is about. This is what a man of faith is about. He is at war, and being at war, he is not allowed to entangle himself in the affairs of this life as other men who are at peace. You know, when you move into the faith realm, you move into warfare. He is about the pleasing of the master, who desires that he engage in warfare, for this is an act of faith. He is to be about obeying and doing whatever pleases Christ. And Christ is pleased when he is first and his will is first. This is exemplified in Abraham, the father of faith. Is he your father because you walk by faith? Is your every move in life, does it take into account that you walk by faith and not by sight? Father, we thank you so much for Abraham. We thank you for the example that he is to us. For his faith was counted for righteousness. And Lord, we want to be people of faith. But being people of faith, Lord, requires obedience, which is hard. It's hard to obey. It's hard to walk. But we know by thy grace, you'll help us. You'll help us walk by faith. So we pray for each one, Father, in this class, that perhaps this lesson would spark some thought in their lives to examine themselves, whether they walk by faith. Do bless us now. Bless Brother Perez as he preaches and teaches us this morning. And help us, Lord, to have hearts of reception for the word, that we might know thy commands and obey them. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.